Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to luxuriate, forget a mud bath. We're getting the Mayo treatment today. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our feedback show after episode number 11 of Survivor: The Edge of Extinction. And I'm very excited to have another great guest with me here in the studio to talk about everything that's going on. Please welcome back to the podcast, great friend of the show, great friend of mine, Mr. Nick Majorano is here. Nick, how are you?
Woo, fantastic. The winner of Survivor Co. Wrong is in the house.
Yes. Wait, what?
Yes, that is factual now.
Okay. Yes. Why? Because the way that the Edge of Extinction worked?
Well, you know, just in case if I'm needed for winners, I'm available now that I won Survivor
Co. Wrong.
Okay.
All right. We'll fact check that later on in the show. Nick, very happy to have you back here with me. You know, the last time you were here, it was, always a thrill to have you up here. But then I had to all right, well, Nick, I think my house is going to burn down. So
I know.
I'll see you on the flip side.
I know. But now we have sunny skies today, right? There's no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, we had, when was that? It was, I guess, November, December, wildfires.
The fires were raging.
Well, there were bad wildfires here in the valley, and we didn't know. My wife was freaking out.
Did they ever figure out what happened with them?
I don't know if they figured out how
they started.
Yeah, how they started.
Oh, sorry. What was Nicole doing?
Oh, she was like, we need to evacuate. And like, oh, well, we should wait for them to like, no, we should have evacuated yesterday.
Nick has to podcast.
Yes. So I was like, I got a podcast. What do you mean evacuate? Okay. So excited to have you back here with us to talk about everything going on the edge.
Yeah, I'm ready for the edge. We'll edge all the way.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. We're 2 minutes in.
Those are easy jokes. We won't do easy jokes.
Okay. All right. Nick, how have you been?
Fantastic.
Yes. What's new with you?
What's new? I'm doing a little bit more writing. I think I mentioned that in the last podcast, right? So that's been draining. That's been tiresome.
Are you writing a book?
I'm writing with another partner a screenplay, a small screenplay that we got paid to do, and we're going to be writing that. You know, we're writing it right now.
When you say small screenplay, is it a small budget or
small budget.
Length?
Small budget. So it's the first step for me, at least, in the writing business. So we'll see what happens. It'll probably be like, Penner's. How was Penner's movie?
The
Bye Bye Man. Yes.
Yeah. I think it was,
it didn't do great, did it?
It's a favorite.
Oh,
it's a favorite.
Stop.
It's a
fan favorite. Lying. Yeah. See, I don't, exactly. Mine might be like the Bye Bye Man. So
you should be so lucky.
Yeah.
It's a big budget movie.
Actually, right. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have that budget. So it'll probably be much worse than the Bye Bye Man.
Yeah. So Nick, excited to talk about everything going on with Survivor, with the Edge of Extinction.
Yes, a different twist on the show.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Do you want to see this going forward?
Not particularly.
Not every time.
This was fine. This was fun. But for me, that if Edge of Extinction becomes the norm, I don't like it. But I feel like that if this was the Edge of Extinction, I feel like we'll always have season 38.
Would you be happy if they changed what was going on at Edge of Extinction?
If the Edge of Extinction was only in the pre-merge, I would be okay with it. I've said many times I'm okay with Redemption Island every season if you want to have that. If it, you know, I don't need to see reward challenges really at any point. But
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Why, you love reward challenges?
I'll bring it up later, but I think we should have reward challenges all the time.
More reward challenges.
And less. And no.
Immunity challenge?
Yes.
Wow. All right. You're really playing with the format.
I know.
But if we wanted to have a Redemption Island challenge instead of the immunity challenge the reward challenge every single week in the pre-merge, that I think that would be fine.
Okay. But like, what if they voted each other out on Edge of Extinction? Would that sweeten the deal for you?
We have two votes per episode.
I know.
Look, if you want to have the Edge of Extinction.
I'm just trying to make it better for you. to see it over and over again.
I think if they brought back one person from the pre-merge at the merge every season, I think that would be fine. I think that when we are getting into, you know, dicey territory where, you know, where the first person kicked off the season, and we should be so lucky, comes back into the game on day 35, I don't think that is the ideal scenario for Survivor.
Or if Rick gets voted out pre-merge, comes back, then gets voted out again, and comes back, not ideal either.
Less of a problem for me, especially if he gets voted out again and then comes right back in.
Is that a good story?
Well, like, if he doesn't miss that much time, it's really, if somebody is away from the action for so long, like then I kind of feel like, well, why did I watch this show? Why didn't I watch the show about what was happening on the edge of extinction the whole time?
Right. That's a good point.
Like in an alternate universe that they're watching, you know, 37 minutes of the edge of extinction. And then they see like 5 minutes of what's happening at the game.
Yeah. Brilliant. I agree. But if you were on a season with edge of extinction and you knew there was edge of extinction, would you get voted out on purpose?
Why?
To hang out with the jury and to not piss anybody off, like get voted out first. Now, obviously, Reem is pissing everybody off, even though she got voted out first. But if you get voted out first, you don't make anybody mad. Well, you don't blindside anybody.
Right.
And now you have one or two chances to make it all the way back in.
You know, that was basically Ozzy's strategy in Survivor South Pacific. But Ozzy just had to win a duel every single week. And he felt confident in his ability that no matter who I face, I can beat somebody one on one. Now it will be a battle seemingly against potentially, you know, 8 or 9 other people when somebody comes back into the game.
That's true, but wouldn't he have to face 8 or 9 people individually?
I think it's easier to beat 8 or 9 people one at a time than to be the person who wins 1 out of 9.
Okay. Do you think that the 1 out of 9 should also go up against the people still in the game? Winner, if one of the people at Edge of Extinction wins against everybody, then they get in. So make it a little bit more more difficult.
Yeah, they have that on Big Brother where they fight for HOH. It's like the last person staying gets to come back into the game, and then also they're also fighting for the HOH as well. But you're saying if they don't beat everybody else still in the game, they don't get to come back in.
Yeah, so it's like a 15-person challenge, technically.
Well, I think Survivor really wants somebody to come back in.
I know. I want it to be harder. Did you feel like it's too easy? Because I do. And maybe
what's
that's just because Edge of Extinction. I just think you're just waiting. I mean, I know that's the challenge, to wait, to endure the whole idea of Edge and like the boredom and the monotony and the people that are there. But that's not that hard in reality, is it?
Oh, I think it's the boredom is very draining.
For some people, sure. Yeah. But I just think it should just be more difficult. And maybe I just want to see more suffering.
How would you make it more difficult?
Well,
cruel and unusual punishments, less food.
Yeah, I would say less food. They have to go get it themselves. Like, they shouldn't be are they getting food? Are they getting rice?
They
have to climb up the stairs to get the rice. First of all, there shouldn't be scavenger hunts, should there be? Why do I want to watch a scavenger hunt?
Yeah.
Seriously, we're watching that in the game when they're getting idols. Why would I want to watch that on it? And then, this is what really annoyed me. I know I'm just spitballing here. But when Aubrey had to practice a challenge, I thought of Allen Iverson, if anyone knows it out there. Practice? We're watching somebody practice?
Yeah.
Why? Why do I want to watch somebody practice a challenge? I know Mike did it in Worlds Apart.
So she can get good at it.
Yeah, but why is that on our TV? That's not entertaining. So I have a problem overall with what Edge is, but I can see the potential there.
Let's talk about your friend Aubrey, who you played with in Survivor Ko Rong, who is back this season.
Right.
What were your thoughts on watching Aubrey back again? Now, let's not even get into performance. Were you surprised that Aubrey was back out there a third time?
Well, Wiggler has stated that he didn't think that she was in the right mindset, I believe. And I do think he was accurate in that, because obviously performance wise, we won't talk about it. But yeah, no, I was surprised because it's a quick turnaround, 32, 34, and then a 38. Yeah, I thought she would have taken a break.
Yeah.
At least, you know, I guess in hindsight, maybe that would have been the smart thing to do.
If you had any advice for Aubrey before she went back for season 38, what would you have told her?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know if there is any advice you can give somebody who isn't ready, but it would just be.
How do you know when you're ready?
You're just relaxed. You're like Jeremy Collins. I mean, I remember seeing all those interviews and reading those interviews just like, no, I'm good. Like if I lose, I lose. I'm happy to be here. I know Wiggler's gone into that. Like, I'm okay. I feel like Aubrey put a lot of pressure on herself to perform well because she didn't perform well in Game Changers and because she lost Ko Rong.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Of course I'm ready, Rob.
You're loosey-goosey, Rob, you don't care?
I am loosey-goosey, no pressure. I got nothing to prove to anybody, but I will win. But yeah, you have to be mentally right, and I don't think she was.
Yeah.
And that's proof because I think she tried playing she wound up playing the Michelle game in Game Changers where you don't really have any power or influence or agency, but you're getting along with people, and that didn't win for her. And then she comes out here aggressive, like giving everybody the same lines, and then she gets blindsided with an idol and an advantage, an extra vote. I actually think, do you believe in karma?
To some degree.
I don't. But if you do,
yes.
One would say maybe that's karma for saying that she should have won Ko Rong because she played Game Changers Michelle style, didn't win. That's karma. And then she's bashing Scott, not bashing Scott. She's saying Scott got blindsided. That was her most favorite move. And then she gets blindsided with an idol and advantage. And so it gets back done to her. So I just don't know. Do you think she'll come back?
For a fourth timeout?
No.
Or a comeback from the game, from the edge of extinction? I would think it's unlikely.
Yeah. Well, obviously the numbers don't favor her. Do you think she'll come back for a fourth time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is her story complete without winning? Because didn't she say that in the show, like, oh, I need the full experience of Survivor? So
no,
now
I think she's had the full experience now.
Other than winning, though.
Other than winning, but how many people get to have that?
37, 38, yeah. Whatever it is now, 36.
So, you know, not everybody, you know, gets to experience
it's greedy.
That.
It's a little greedy to want it all.
I just think that, you know, Aubrey should take a break from it.
Take a mental break?
Take a mental break from it. I mean, she's been in Survivor mode for the last couple of years. And I think that, you know, take some time away from Survivor and, you know, see what else is going on. I mean, she has a lot going on for herself outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Game's not everything.
No. Yeah, when you're in it for 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been since Ko Rong, yeah, that can mess you up a little bit, I'm sure. I mean, that's why Kelly and Joe must have turned down 34, the Game Changers. They didn't come back right away.
Yeah.
So I'm sure maybe...
they should have.
Oh, you think they should have came back to make it better or whatever?
Yeah. Maybe Joe probably... I think Joe would have done better on Game Changers.
Yes, I think so too. See, would you have said yes to a captain season if you knew it was captain season? Granted, I don't know if they knew.
So they're asking me to come back.
Yeah, they're
as
asking
a
you to come back. Yep. You don't know how many captains, but as a captain.
Okay. So they're basically like, okay, hey, you're a Survivor know-it-all. Mm-hmm. Can you come back and be a captain of a tribe? I would do that.
You would do
why,
it.
Why not?
No hesitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so I think a lot of people were asking, like, well, would you rather come back for a captain season or a full season? I mean, you just can't bank on that, that you'll be asked again.
Right. So, but you're saying, like, the same way that David and Kelly and Aubrey and Joe came back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put it off, right? You can't say no. I mean, I'm sure you've said no in the past.
I have. And look.
Do you regret that decision now?
I do not.
See? Yeah.
So when they ask you, look, if you want to do it, you know, if you're dying to do it, I think you have to say yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if that's going to come. Because that could be the decision that haunts you of that I was dying to do it. I really wanted to play again. And if you say no, you have to be able to live with that. You have to be able to live with that. Maybe you won't ever get to play again.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think that's probably what went into Aubrey's thinking was my Game Changer showing wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And now I should come back and make this my opportunity to really shine how I did in Ko Rong.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. Now, have you kept in contact with Aubrey over the years?
No, not since 35, I would say, season 35. So it's been a while.
All right. All All right. So it's been a minute.
It's been a few years.
It's been a few years. All right. Nick, let's talk about what's going on with this season right now. You had a tweet Whoa. That went viral this week. One of your...
I've got a lot of tweets, but hold on. Let me say something. I'm showing a lot of leg right now. I feel like I got to do the wrong Clark.
Yes, that's the wrong Clark.
Yeah. Give me $2 million for hanging out with Aurora. Dude, those were some funny conventions. Why don't we get more Ron Clark? But okay, go back to my amazingness on Twitter.
Okay, are you uncomfortable? Do you want me to crop the camera angle?
No, please. Show the ladies and gents all this leg, all this meat.
Yes, the quadrosaurus.
Yeah, I just feel a little naked, but that's cool.
Okay. No. All right. So, Nick.
Twitter?
Let's talk about what's going on over on your Twitter, because you don't tweet often.
No, again, I've been really actually seriously fatigued from writing. It's really mentally draining.
Yeah, and another 280 characters was going to put you over the edge.
Seriously. First of all, it's hard to be funny. You know that. I know it too.
Not that hard. But for some people, it's hard.
Listen, I despise the people who just throw crap on the wall for Twitter. It's just like, stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. Quality over quantity, people. But I guess that's what makes me special, right?
Okay. All right.
Don't ignore that, but go on.
I'm sorry. I'm multitasking.
I know.
So you tweeted out a huge fallacy in Survivor is resume building. Like in life, sometimes having the best resume doesn't win. It's those with the best connections that do. Hashtag Survivor.
That's right. Yeah. I know you were talking about resume building with
always
PG and Todd Garner. I listened to those. Obviously it's not necessary. It's the big moves era that everybody talks about and groans about. Yeah, you don't need a resume.
44 retweets.
44. That's big time, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it almost did it do better than my Survivor 40 season, what it was going to be, breaking news.
Let's see. Your April Fool's tweet.
Well, first of all, okay, can I just say one thing about
yes.
that? I didn't want to post it, number one, because I thought it was a dumb joke. I thought it was too easy. Number two, I didn't want to post on April Fool's. And I was like, oh, screw it. I'll just post it.
You said breaking, successfully pitched CBS for Survivor 40 to be Survivor Legends versus Legends in Their Own Minds. That had not as many favorites or retweets as this one.
Jeez, when you get serious, I guess that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So resume building. Yeah, obviously we're in the agreement, right? You don't need a resume.
I think that it can help in some cases. Mm-hmm. I think that what we came up with last season was that you need a story. You need a story, and then you also need to be well-liked.
Okay.
Those are the two things.
Story and well-liked. Okay, fine. I'll agree with that. I don't know. Okay, fine. A story. Just like you didn't do anything, you can't do nothing. Like, you have to win a challenge or two. You have to
influence a vote. Or at least be able to, like, yeah, I didn't win challenges and I didn't vote anybody out, but I was the person that had the best social game. Like, you need to be able to articulate what you did to justify people writing your name down. And you could be the most, you know, likable, you know, person ever. And maybe like, you know, hey, I was everybody's friend. But you need to be able to say something.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah. You need to be able to articulate it. I just don't think the resume building, and you hear it on the show, but maybe to the player's favor that they say in confessionals that just aren't shown, like, oh, this is all BS. I'm just saying it in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So they start being more aggressive in the game and screw up on their end. So they might just be saying like resume building to make other players screw up, to like make a move.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a backlash to the resume mindset?
What do you mean? Like patting yourself on the back? Like, yeah, I have the best resume. I made the most moves. I have the best. I'm the best on paper, obviously.
Well, in a season like this one, where we've seen, you know, a couple times in a row, the person who's making a move then ends up being the person who is voted out.
Yeah.
Then does the ultimate mindset become, well, I better not make a move?
Yeah, no. I think those people are just more boisterous. Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly maybe is not that boisterous, is she?
She's pretty boisterous.
Yeah. David Wright? Was he boisterous? I mean, he got voted out for being a threat and for having a resume.
I think of him as boisterous.
Right. So I'm just trying to think, like, there's obviously people...
He's boisterous at some of these tribal councils, though.
Yeah, but there's obviously people on the island who are making subtle moves. Mm-hmm. And who maybe it's just not as visual or is not as obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're probably not going to get voted out, right?
Yeah. I just think that in Survivor, I think that, and I've talked about this for years on the podcast, where it's almost like that there is honor in going down after making the big move, and that you get dragged for being the person who shied away from the big move. We don't see you on the show. We don't know you. And yes, you survived more episodes, but you ultimately end up with no screen time and no credit in the eyes of the fans.
Right, which is actually amazing. Do you actually think people are that... This is going to be a negative word. Do you think people are that shallow?
Yes.
Because would you care? I know you got a lot of screen time in Amazon and even mm-hmm. in All Stars, but for the time that you were there,
yeah.
It's very
generous. But we'll take it.
Okay. Would you care if you got screen time as long as you won or made it far? Because I would not.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
You would not care?
No. I mean, you have $1 million, right?
Okay. Yeah, well, I think if the difference is, would you rather...
The experience of the show? Isn't that a little narcissistic? I know it's funny coming from me, but seriously, isn't it like, oh, I need to see myself on TV. Why am I not being shown? Why are my opinions not being shown? Listen, there's 18 other people, 20 other people.
Well, I think that you played in a season where you had two people that were basically like, would you rather be the person who has the most airtime or the person who wins?
The person who wins. What about you?
Yeah. But I feel like that there's...
What is your answer?
I would rather win. I think that the better question is,
would you rather win with like glory, like with credit? Like, is that what you're saying? Like, you want ownership of your win?
The better question is, like, would you rather get a lot of screen time and be out early, or not get a lot of screen time but make it to the final three? You know, sort of like you were like the big pre-merge character, or you were somebody who made it to the final three but didn't get any airtime, didn't get any votes.
That is a tough question. What would you say?
I think I'd rather be the bigger pre-merge character.
Fudge. That's a hard question. Mm-hmm. Shoot.
It's like, would you rather be Sandra in Game Changers, or would you rather be Troyzan in Game Changers?
Oh, that's a good example. Yeah, I guess you'd rather go out pre-merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you'd rather be the person that is shown and everybody's like, oh, wow, you played so hard and you played.
See, but I wouldn't care about that feedback that you get from the fans. I would just want to know that that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You don't need that reassurance from the fans, that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you know it, then that's all you need, right?
But I think that, Hannah has said before, you know, perception is reality.
That's
too
true. That's true.
Like the show ultimately, I think, becomes the narrative, like the prevailing, like of what the story was.
And a lot of players care about that narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean,
we saw it on Twitter. People upset about their screen time or lack of screen time, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about War Dog, though. Okay.
And War Dog, here we go.
I'd love to get your feelings about War Dog so far.
He reminds me of myself a little bit for being a little condescending, or a little talking down to people or talking at people. So I'm on the same wavelength as that.
Mm-hmm.
I like him in the game. He's aggressive. He knows the strategy behind everything, I would say. But again, he doesn't know how to soften it up for people and give them the message. I'm surprised so many people have listened to him
mm-hmm.
This far. I mean, he's gotten people to follow what he wants, at least what we've seen. So that's been impressive to me.
Yeah.
But obviously, it only gets you this far.
Okay, well, let's go back a vote, and let's bring in this question from Ben as we talk this through here with the mayo jar, Nick Majorano. Here is Ben's question.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Nick. It's Ben from New Zealand here. We heard Wardog say in this episode that if the other players were smart, they'd take him out next, and he was counting on them being dumb. So if he could understand that that was his position here at Final Eight, what was he thinking when he took Kelly out last time? Was he just overreacting and thinking of Laurel from Ghost Island? Or I don't know. What was that? Cheers.
Okay. Let's talk about this a little bit for War Dog's move last week. Where do you have the, you know, Stephen Fishback results-oriented thinking on this? Where, well, he got voted out this week, so it must have been a bad move.
I'm like in the middle of results oriented, and was it a smart move regardless of the result? I do think you have to keep the threats if you are, if you think you are a threat. Mm-hmm. You would think that way of thinking.
Certainly,
right?
That's
keep protection.
I would not go after, you know, the threats.
Yeah, on my season, I would say, like, especially like Caleb's my shield, and so yeah, War Dog needs a shield, and he took one of them away. But he, in his opinion, he thought he had Ron. He thought he had Rick as other shields. But the thing that I've noticed, and you don't really notice this when you're a new player, is if you think you're the most aggressive player or the most strategic, and maybe there's a few others, and there's only a few. Would you agree with that on each season? Aggressive players or very strategic?
Sure. The pilots.
The pilots. Oh, boy.
As they like to say.
I would say the passengers wind up realizing or wind up banding together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more common than it isn't.
Yeah.
And so you have to find a way to blend in with the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the passengers wind up being the majority most Survivor seasons.
Right, right. Just to go back to the vote against Kelly, where that was at the final nine. And when we go back to earlier in that episode, when David Wright got voted out, we saw an alliance of six that was formed, which was War Dog, Kelly, Lauren, plus Julie, Ron, and Gavin. So that was a six. So War Dog at that vote of nine, he was able to get two different people in the six to flip with the three people that were not in the six in Victoria and Aurora and Devins. And to me, I just think that his mistake was, why not stick with that new group to then pick off somebody else like Gavin or Lauren in this next round, especially Gavin, who is somebody who has been an immunity threat, that he's gone. He won immunity when David ended up going home. Wardog's not even talking to him. Why is Aurora an easier vote than Gavin?
Well, because people wanted Aurora out early on in the merge, and she was like on the bottom. So you figure, okay, everybody's still going to feel that way. And then, and that is what you also don't realize as a new player, like, oh, things can change quicker than you're stuck on your old thoughts or your old ways a couple days ago. But you'd bounced around in the Amazon. Granted,
sure,
you didn't have the same position as War Dog.
Mm-hmm.
So you would suggest that he doesn't bounce around, or he bounces around maybe every two or three votes, not
you
one
can,
to one.
I think you can.
Back to back.
I think you can bounce around here, but that you ended up voting with this group to break up this alliance of six that was helmed by Kelly Wentworth. I mean, I think, you know, finish the job if you can, because I think that you make it so easy for the vote to come back against you.
Okay, but do you think this? Do you think if War Dog spoke better to Gavin when they came back from Tribal, do you think War Dog would still be in the game? I do.
I think it would help. I think it would have made his life easier of like, he got into it with Gavin. Was like, well, I wish, I'm doing Ron, but I wish he would tell me. He's like, well, how could I tell you? Because, you know, you just want to be in on it because it happened after the vote. And just like, you know what, like Gavin, how do I stay in the Gavin business?
Yeah.
How do we work? How do we work together off of this?
Yeah, he closed that door.
Where then it did seem like then Gavin went and talked to Ron, and Ron, you know, has expressed a couple times that.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
He doesn't like it when that Gavin is being talked to like that. This was how Gavin described Wardog talking to him.
Byron, Wardog's just barking out orders. You know, Wardog talked to me like a dog.
See, I don't think he did talk to him like a dog. But again, that's coming from me, mm-hmm. who likes that Ream personality where this is going to sound, don't do a Ream impression just yet. But this sounds bad, but it's almost like an athlete's perspective. Like, I wouldn't get pissed off at you if you told me the truth and we're like, okay, let's fix this later. Let's move past this. But this is, you screwed up. You missed the jump shot. You missed the screen, whatever.
Yeah.
It's over. So I don't know. It's just a certain way of talking to somebody. I wouldn't have been pissed if Wardog talked to me like that. I'd be like, all right, I get it, dude. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But everybody takes things differently, and that's what you need to know. That's what you need to remember.
Yes. So for Wardog, I think that he had other moves to go with, because to go after Aurora, who he had voted with at the previous vote, I felt like was a mistake.
Okay. Okay, but do you think he could have recovered from it?
Yeah, I think he could. I think he could have recovered for it. But
are you sad to see him go?
I am, because I think that he was a mover and a shaker in the game,
and you need those.
And you need those, because I think that we're starting to, you know, we're at a final seven, and the majority of the people on the show, we don't know a ton about and how they view the game.
Well, that's just because of Edge of Extinction, right?
I mean, it's because of the Edge of Extinction,
and the returnees.
But it's also that the people that really, you know, got a lot of...
Do you think they're just not that interesting, or just not have many ownership of the moves, or they're moving and shaking? You don't think that?
I think that it could be a little of column A and a little of column B.
Okay.
You know?
I agree with that.
And it doesn't mean that they're not big personalities, but I think that either they are not great at articulating their gameplay, or that they are, you know, not great in confessional.
Well, that's why I would love to see more Ron. I feel like we haven't seen enough of Ron, but he's playing that middle game of bouncing back and forth like you did.
He's bouncing back and forth.
And he's pulling it off.
And he's pulling it off so far, but I really feel like that
he's next.
If not next, I feel like he's after Devin's.
But doesn't he have those relationships with Julie, with Aurora, with... Oh, that was another great scene, Aurora and Ron.
Yeah.
That's another example of two people who can be upset with each other, mm-hmm. but then they can get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, credit to Aurora, because Aurora said it, like,
mm-hmm.
Ron's a drama queen, but so am I.
Mm-hmm.
So who am I to blame him, type of thing.
Okay. Let's play this question. This is from Brent in Minnesota. Here is Brent.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Nick. This is Brent from Minneapolis. And I just want to say that I think the biggest mistake that Wardog made was how he handled the whole threats and goats dynamic. He teamed up with Ron Clark and Devins in this little threesome of threats and said they all need each other. But that puts five people in the goat spot. And usually you have like one or two goats on a group of eight and people are worried about the goats. But when you have five goats, you're really talking about five on three. How did he possibly think that making a threesome stand out like that was going to be a great idea? Ron Clark is the one who saw the writing on the wall with that and went with the numbers. Who cares if they were all goats? There's more of them. You have to figure out a way to work with them. So my question for you is, how do you think that Wardog could have better handled what was coming up in conversation about goats and threats? Thanks.
Okay. Nick, could there be five goats?
Oh, yeah, there can be 17 or 19, whatever.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with the caller here. I don't think there can be five goats. Like,
Really?
I think there is like a one or two people who are the goats of, if you go to the end with them, they will get no votes. There can't be five people that will go to the end and get no votes.
Well, not if three of them go together. Of course not.
Right,
but if you go to the end with two out of those five at any combination, yeah, mm-hmm. maybe they all get like zero votes or one vote or two votes.
Yeah,
that's very possible.
It's I think that either
unlikely,
It's unlikely. And I don't know if it's the naming of the goats versus the...
Again, it's the communication, and you can't be doing it. I disagree with the whole tribal theatrics of saying, like, oh, we're playing the game, some people aren't. I would just be like, no, I'm not playing the game. Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, if it, yeah. out in public, like, no, I'm not. I'm terrible. Mm-hmm. But I do disagree with Brent, right? It was Brent, that... You can't just go with the numbers. Mm-hmm. You can't. You have to go with the correct numbers for you to win. Does that make sense? You can't just go free willy with the numbers because it might not be the right combination for you to win.
In the final three?
Yeah, in the final three.
Or go wherever the vote is going to go.
Yeah, if you just go wherever the vote's going to go, it might not be a final three combination for you left to win.
Because I kind of feel
like...
have
to be the right numbers.
If I was in the war dog position in this one, you know, I think the idea of like having like a target, I think would be a mistake at this point where that... How do I get through this round of voting? Like, how about Aurora? Okay, that's not. You guys don't like that one.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Gavin? And yeah, you're throwing names out, but it's like, you know, eventually you're gonna unlock the right combination of. All right, we got some movement here. We got some momentum. So I think that in a game that's this fluid, I really do think it's just about surviving till the next round of voting and figuring out what that is, because none of these voting coalitions has held for more than a round of voting.
And I heard you on, I think, PG's podcast or Angelina's Know-It-All, is that you think it's because of Edge of Extinction, people are playing a little bit more loose?
Yeah, I think that people are like, hey, I think it's a couple of these things where that this idea has really been implanted by the Ghost Island finale that the, hey, don't be the Laurel. You know, don't be the person who didn't make a move. And then so you got to play a big game. And then it's compounded by the fact that there's the Edge of Extinction of, okay, well, I need to make a big move if I'm going to win the game, and I'm going to take a big swing. And if I go down swinging, I got a chance to get back into the game. My game's not over.
Yeah, but that's such a small chance of you coming back. You think it's having an impact.
But you're not off the show.
Or is it just these people aren't connecting as much? No, they have to be connecting. They have to be bonding. I just don't think War Dog had the social connections that you need to behave the way he was behaving.
See, well, he did have social connections, though, because he was the one person that he was able to have those 30-second conversations with all these different people.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked by that.
Yeah. He was also the person that got Gavin and Julia to flip against Eric. So he has been able to,
but they weren't
wheel
that strong then if he got voted out. That's what I'm saying. Like, Julie and Lauren... They were the ones, at least at the reward.
I think that what he did was he elevated his profile too much of, hey, I slayed Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
There was the other players were talking about War Dog, that he's going to win the game.
I know, and it's all because of resume building?
Yeah. You have to do that. So this resume is
in people's heads.
It's a curse more than a blessing.
I know.
Of that, yeah, you.
Okay, you said it's going to go full circle.
Yeah, you make a move. The only way to stay in the game is to not have a resume, and then you get to the end and say, "My resume is I intentionally did not have a resume." That's my resume. Here's my resume: a blank sheet of paper on purpose.
Would you give the million to somebody who said I got voted out on purpose at the merge, so I wouldn't have to blindside anybody to win the returning challenge to return to the game? And I did that on purpose.
If they were convincing enough.
Yeah. Because there could be an issue, Rob, where we have somebody like Reem, who was voted out first.
That's right.
Re-enters.
Right.
Winds up at the final three. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have, who's somebody that you think has no agency or ownership in the game right now? Like a Julie or a Victoria or Lauren.
I don't know if I would say that about any of the players.
I know. You don't want to. Okay, but let's say, how about Gavin? Just because he was on the wrong side of numbers.
Well, it's hard to say he has no agency because he was the loudest voice of, hey, we have to vote out War Dog this round, and War Dog went home. So
very little.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say Gavin, even though I know he's had an impact. Yeah. So Gavin, Bream, and let's say you get a challenge beast in there. Let's say let's say Rick wins out the challenges.
Okay.
And he hasn't really voted anybody out or been on the correct side of the votes, I don't think, after the merge. And he was voted out pre-merge. So those three people could be in the final three.
Mm-hmm.
Bream, Gavin, who let's say he doesn't control that many votes, and Rick who has to win out. Who mm-hmm. would you vote for?
It's Rick, Gavin, and
Reem.
Reem?
That's not a very appetizing final three to me
mm-hmm.
to have to vote for somebody. And I think that's what is troublesome.
Yeah. All right, we'll see. It's a wild season.
You'd vote for Reem.
You know, we have to see also, like, there's a lot of spaces between...
I know. I'm just trying to give you a hypothetical.
Now and then. So we don't know exactly how this is going to end up playing out. Okay. We've got a lot more questions here with Nick Majorano. But let's thank one of our sponsors here today. Why don't we start off with our friends over at Scentbird. Okay, do you know what Scentbird is, Nick?
I do not.
Okay, this would be perfect for you, Nick, because have you ever had anybody come up to you and ask you, hey, you smell amazing. What cologne are you wearing?
No.
No. Okay. Well, that's why you need to be on Scentbird, because what Scentbird is going to do, they're going to give you a way to have great taste without breaking the bank, whether it's Versace, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana. Scentbird is going to keep you smelling good month after month because they are going to let you try out different colognes or perfumes until you find the one that you like, or to mix and match, have a whole rotation with Scentbird. It's a luxury fragrance subscription service to mix up your cologne or perfume routine, because you don't want to also then have the same one. You want to keep people on their toes.
Keep it fresh.
Right? It's a way for you to discover the new colognes and perfumes without buying an entire bottle. Scentbird has more than 450 designer brands for you to choose a cologne or perfume for each month. Try the brands that you want. It's the real deal. Gucci, Tom Ford, Kenneth Cole, Burberry, Prada, and more. What can you tell the listeners? What cologne is your signature?
I don't wear cologne. I just have my own pheromones.
Okay. Well, pheromones. This could be, you could be the test case. And if you're not sure, if you're like Nick Majorano, you could sort colognes by brand, occasion, season, style, and more. Check out the user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or take Scentbird's True Scent Quiz to discover more personalized recommendations. Nicole is on there. She's picked out all these different perfumes. She loves it. We've got a great offer for our listeners. 50% off your first month today. That's $7.50 only for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/Rob and use the promo code Rob for 50% off your first month. That's Scentbird, S-C-E-N-T, bird.com/Rob to try your first cologne or perfume for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing. Okay.
Well, that's a good deal. $7.50?
$7.50.
Get your cologne. I can smell.
Go to the mall.
My pheromones are not doing it anymore.
Okay. Let's go ahead and let's take a question from Erica from Montreal. And she has a question for you about Lauren from this season of Survivor. And let's take her question talking about Lauren. Here's Erica.
Hey, Rob. My name is Erica, and I'm from Montreal, Canada. And I'm a huge Rob Has a Podcast fan. I love listening to your show. I love listening to the recap about Survivor, and I also love it about Big Brother US and Big Brother Canada.
All right.
I have a question for you. I was wondering if you think Lauren has a chance of winning the game now that Kelly is gone. Her game seems to be stepping up a bit. So do you think she has a chance of winning it all? Thank you so much for podcasting. I love it. I love it so much, especially when you have past Survivor and Big Brother contestants.
Yeah, she hasn't mentioned me
show.
Once.
Really, it just really brightens my day to listen to your podcast. Puts a smile on my face. Huge fan. Thanks.
Wasn't that so nice?
Yeah, that was all about you. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
I don't put a smile on her face? No.
All right. Well, Erica in Montreal, thank you so much for the call. Okay, so
does Lauren have a chance?
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, because this is something that came up on the podcast with PG, where somebody asked PG about, do you think that Lauren potentially could have a Michelle Fitzgerald type upside where Michelle Fitzgerald was somebody who people were not really worried about. She had a friend. Don't laugh.
No crap.
And she had a friend who got voted out of the game.
That she had to vote out.
Yes. Uh-huh. Now, Lauren did not have to vote out Kelly Wentworth.
No.
Okay. Do you think that potentially we could see Michelle Fitzgerald upside for Lauren?
Yes, because Lauren is athletic.
Mm-hmm.
She will fight for the challenges so hard that she'll even pass out.
That's right.
She must have a head on her shoulders, right?
I mean, seemingly.
She was working with Julie, trying to figure out what the right move was. She even said, I don't want to get emotional about this. She wanted to keep War Dog, correct?
She did. Because she hates Rick Devens, like Kelly. Kelly's protege also does not like Rick Devens.
Yeah. Well, I do think based on the final, on Tribal Council, people were liking Lauren, and Kelly was even egging that on, like, oh, she got revenge
for
me.
For me.
Yeah, which, I don't know, whatever.
It sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Of course. It's all a setup. I know it. I could definitely see it because now she's a woman on an island with nobody to work with. She's a free agent. She does have people to work with. She's a free agent. So she is less scary now that Kelly is not around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could easily see it. Could you?
I can see it now. I didn't see it beforehand, but now okay. Here's Lauren.
She's got an idol.
She's in the final seven. She's got an idol.
She can win challenges.
Who's coming for her?
Nobody right now.
I mean, I really do feel like that a huge thing in the game that we know never talk about is like, who's coming for this person?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when will they get voted out? What would have to go wrong on next week's episode for Lauren to get voted out?
Yeah, you're right. And Lauren's not going to piss anybody off, right? It doesn't seem like it.
Right. So if you can somehow, she's made it this far. I almost feel like, do you see a scenario where Victoria, where anybody, who's coming after Lauren?
Yeah, I think you are right. I could easily see Lauren winning, and I do think it benefited her game.
It certainly was a huge benefit to Lauren's game that Kelly got voted out, and she didn't have to vote her out. And I have two scenarios involving Jeremy Collins with this, where Natalie Anderson, it was a huge thing for her game when Jeremy got voted out in San Juan del Sur, because she didn't know what happened. She got blindsided. It really fueled her, and it propelled her to the victory in that season. And then in the season where Jeremy won, Andrew Savage gets bloated out by Kelly Wentworth to bring this whole thing completely full circle. And
hi, I'm Kelly Wentworth, and I just idled Andrew Savage out of Survivor's Second Chance.
And in that scenario, that dismantling Andrew Savage from the other people that Jeremy wanted to work with was going to be, a huge obstacle in his way. And then to send Andrew Savage to the jury, Jeremy didn't have to vote him out. Everybody, and Andrew Savage is like, boy, I love Jeremy. He's on the jury. He was the, not the mayor of Ponderosa, but the second in command, the vice mayor of Ponderosa. And that ends up being a great thing for Jeremy in that season to have Andrew pulled out of the game, and he didn't have any blood on his hands because of that. And now here's Kelly Wentworth, who was the biggest thing blocking Lauren from winning the game. Lauren gets to the end with Kelly Wentworth. I don't think she gets a vote.
Okay.
I think that Kelly Wentworth absorbs any pro-Lauren
no,
Kelly
No, I disagree
vote.
With
yeah,
that.
You disagree?
Because every single one of these newbies does not want a returnee to win. Even if returnee made it to the end, I don't think they vote
you
for
think,
him.
Unless they love Lauren, I think
well,
that
Lauren seems like a nice person.
They would either vote for the other new person
okay,
that's there,
fine.
Or it's like, hey, you rode Kelly's coattails all the way to the end. She wouldn't get any credit for the game. Maybe she'd get a person or two, but I can't imagine
what
the jury.
What if she played her idol well, Lauren?
I don't know. Okay. It's a stretch. I couldn't see it. But now here she is, and now she is a woman on a mission. She's out for revenge. She has Kelly cheering her on from the edge of extinction. Nobody's coming for her. And I think she's in a great position now.
I agree. I have no disagreement there.
So watch out. Here comes Lauren. All right. Let me give you this question. Let's talk about the rest of the field here in the season. And let's bring in Dan from Boston with the question for the Mayo Jar.
Hey, Rob and Nick. This is Dan from Boston. And I was having a question about who you think has the best chance to win the season. Right now, it feels to me like Ron Clark has a very strong chance, considering he's one of the only people left who has any sort of resume. And also, he's, of the big threats, he's the only one with big with connections that can really carry into the end of the game without relying on immunities or idols or anything like that. I was just wondering, what do you guys think? Do you think anyone else has a higher chance than Ron? Love to hear your thoughts.
Okay, thanks. Nick. Who's the favorite right now?
Well, I don't disagree with Dan. I do think Ron is in a good position, even though he's one of the bigger targets.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Julia does trust him a lot. I mean, not Julia, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gavin's willing to work with him. I think Victoria's willing to work with him. So I do think Ron's in a good position. But I do think, we were just talking about it, Lauren,
mm-hmm.
I think Julie, and I do think Victoria, those three might have a better chance than Ron
mm-hmm.
because they're a little bit more under the radar and they're pulling the strings now. Lauren and Julie just voted out War Dog. So maybe now the momentum's going to swing for them for this last third of the game or whatever it is.
Yeah. I like Ron's chances if he can get to the end, but mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to want to sit with him.
He probably won't win immunity, right?
I mean, look, I never say never on these things.
You never know what they are.
You never know what they're going to be. But
yeah.
He's also, I think he's good with puzzles.
Yeah, I think he's good with puzzles. He doesn't have an advantage anymore, right? The advantage menu is done.
The advantage menu is done, but in the previews, it looks like that he is going to pawn it off on Rick Devins.
Oh,
expired advantage menu.
Trick him or something.
Mm-hmm. You can try to trick him. He's a tricky guy.
Yeah, no, I would say one of the three ladies.
Yeah. All right. How about this question from Dennis, who wrote on Twitter, do you think that Rick Devins has been playing a good game? He speaks well and wins immunity, but he's been voted out and on the wrong side of the votes a lot since the merge. Entertaining character, but I feel like that the jury might have a different perception of him than the viewer.
Agreed again. No disagreement. He had his moment in the Julia Tribal Council, right? Where he did the whole passenger thing. He flipped everything around. Mm-hmm. Everybody stood up. So that was his moment. And I do think he might be coming across as aggravating to the people on Edge of Extinction, the jury. Like the way he talks to Tribal Council about, you know, how he's patting himself on the back or how he's like being a little bit more loud, or a little bit more boisterous, a little bit more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that might be a turnoff.
I don't know. I think he's popular with the Edge of Extinction.
Well, he's popular with David.
He's popular with David. He's popular with Chris.
And I think people like him.
I think that Aubrey is probably pro Rick Devins.
Okay, but how many votes has he engineered? I think, like the caller said, not that many, right?
I think that, yeah, his calling card is the Julia Tribal Council.
Right, and winning challenges.
And winning the challenges and coming back from the Edge of Extinction.
Right, and that's probably not somebody who I would vote for in the end.
Yeah.
Regardless if I like them or not. It's just not an impressive game to me. Mm-hmm. Granted, though, he's got a good mouth on him.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Rick Devins this week, where not only did he won immunity... he exclaimed this when he won his immunity.
The Chasery!
Oh, yeah, the Tony Kornheiser.
Are you a Tony Kornheiser guy?
I did used to watch PTI,
yes.
PTI and ESPN,
yes.
Although I didn't know it in the moment. I had to look it up.
I looked it up as well.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think remember Tony saying that.
I used to listen to the Tony Kornheiser show when it used to be on ESPN Radio. I mean, this was like before I even went on Survivor. That's how long.
Yeah, that's wild.
And I actually was reading a Tony Kornheiser book at Ponderosa before the game. I believe it's called I'm Back for More Cash. And it was just like a collection of essays that he had written from that were in like the Washington Post from like over the years. And it was a good read. I think that was just like in the early days of PTI.
Right. So it was a good call out, a good shout out.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I have not kept up with Tony Kornheiser radio show over the years.
But yeah, who posted it? I think Hannah. No, not Hannah. Sorry. Gabby posted it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big spike in La Chiserie searches on Google.
Okay. Yeah, people are looking it up. Okay. So Rick Devins also went on The Reward this week, where he got to luxuriate with War Dog and Nick.
Rubbing some mud.
Yeah, let me play you a little bit about this reward footage, and then you tell me what you think of all this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing better than having Devins rub mud on me.
I've dreamed of this since day one, and finally, day 28.
War Dog and I, who have had such an up and down game strategically, are rubbing the mud on each other.
Oh, look at that.
Oh. Yeah. What do you think, Nick?
That was erotic.
It was hot.
That was very, very warm.
Yes. Rick Devins likes it warm.
I love hot water.
That was funny. That sounded like a Cat Ederson tweet or something like that. Just like,
boy. I love hot water.
Or like that's like what like a 5-year-old would say. So I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. Just like, Bert, what's out on your mind?
And also, Rick Devins summed up his experience with War Dog.
I mean, you want to talk about heaven. Heaven is getting mud rubbed on you by War Dog in Fiji.
Obviously, Julie and Lauren did not want to rub down War Dog or Rick. So obviously you're just left with no other choice but to rub down the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I would have done that with Neil. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have asked Lauren first or Julie.
Yeah. Does the mud do anything? I kind of feel
like... I think so, right? Doesn't it exfoliate?
Do I need to exfoliate? I kind of feel like...
Because what do pigs do in mud? Does it do something for your skin?
If I'm on the reward, I guess it's like I think I'd rather just be eating or in the water.
No, I would do the mud. Would do the mud too.
I would do it too. I mean, yeah. I would do it because I would be a ham on TV. But
would you be okay if Steven Fishback rubbed mud all over you?
I mean,
yeah.
If it was on TV.
Yeah, you would welcome it.
If it was not on TV, I think I would just say, you know what? Like,
I'll pass.
Yeah. Like if I got to the reward and they were like, sorry guys, we're out of mud. I'd be like, okay. No biggie.
You know what I would love to see you do? Go on.
I love hot water.
Go on a reward like this, and you're one of the four who does it. No, I'm good. No mud for me. You're like the party pooper of the
bunch. Wouldn't be the party pooper.
I know, but I'd like to see it. It'd be comical for me.
If it was, I love comical. But I would then, if we were just going on a retreat.
Yeah,
and I had the opportunity of like
we were just like hanging out.
Like, hey, you wanna put mud all over you or not? I'm good.
We could get like a little mud train, like five people.
Yeah, why? If it was on TV, if it was for a gag, sure, let's do it. But if it's just me hanging out, I don't need to get covered in mud. I could just go straight to the water.
Okay. Don't knock it until you try it.
Yeah. Why, have you had a mud bath?
I went with my parents to like a mud bath in California in the hot springs. Like,
how was that?
It was very fascinating.
Am I going to get dragged by mud Twitter?
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. I have enough things that I'm already, you know, get pummeled.
I know you already have soft skin, but.
Yeah. Supple. Yeah. But please, mud people, don't drag me on Twitter, okay? I don't need a mud bath. I'm sure it's heaven to get a mud bath from War Dog. I'm good.
When people come out for Los Angeles Know-It-Alls, all the Patreons and the rat people should go to a mud spa.
Mud bath,
and that's where you're going to go do it.
Okay, well...
I love hot water.
All right, that's enough of that.
Enough of that. Okay, let's keep going, and let's talk to James from Perth, and let's see if he is speaking your language, Nick, because he is not thrilled with something that's going on here in this season, and let's go ahead and bring in James.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Mayo Jar.
You've got a great mic.
Keeping well. This is James from Perth. Just wanted your thoughts on the rampant jury pandering that was highlighted in this week's episode and seems to be something that's edited in a lot more over the last couple of series. I guess, firstly, do either of you think this actually has an impact on how jurors vote when we get to the end, or is it just something that's kept in for the sake of good television? And if it does impact the jury, could you foresee a series where the show says jury members aren't going to tribal council, they're staying on Ponderosa, and perhaps we get more lively, less guarded tribal councils, and maybe a more involved, more rigorous, more open final tribal council. Is that something you think would be interesting, could work, or is it one of the sacred parts of the game that cannot be touched? I'd be interested to hear the thoughts of both of you on this. Toodaloo.
Okay, thank you, James from Perth, with a great microphone. So, Nick, I thought that this was an interesting thing to talk about with you, because you were on one of the most contentious juries in the mm-hmm. history of the show,
mm-hmm.
and this is certainly a different setup for the jury for this season. One, do you like how much the jury seems to be in this, like, back and forth with the players in the game? And two, how do you think that this is going to affect the final result?
I'm not against seeing it. Usually the jury is more static or not as interactive. I don't like the pandering aspect of it. That would turn me off as a juror. Would it turn you off if somebody was like overly pandering to you? That would just bother me.
It depends who it was. I kind of feel like that the person who is pandering...
If it was somebody you liked?
Well, the person that you like doesn't have to pander to you.
Yeah, so then if it was somebody you don't like, then that would bother you,
It would bother you because it's somebody that I don't like.
But wasn't Lauren like looking over to Kelly? Oh, even if somebody I liked did it, that would bother me. Mm-hmm. It's like, stop. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Like, don't focus on me. I'm good. I'm mm-hmm. listening. And then will it affect the end vote?
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives away to players in the game about like Lauren smiling at Kelly. Then she does actually become a threat, Lauren, mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, you know,
she has Kelly yeah. Wentworth on the edge of extinction.
And like whoever's like laughing or whoever's happy about revenge, not just even just Kelly, but like you get information, you get intel. So mm-hmm. I would be like, no, stop giving reactions, jurors. Like, I don't want to know so these other people get more information.
Yeah. All right. Let's take this question from Pirate Tom. Has a question for you about the jury.
Hi, Rob. This is Pirate Tom. I'm wondering, with Victoria talking about the threats bragging their votes too much and Reem saying everyone on the edge is mad at somebody, do you think we'll have a partially bitter jury this season? Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... any jury is partially bitter, right?
Can we talk about Pirate Tom?
Yeah, why is he a pirate?
I don't know.
Huh.
Do you think he's like a literal pirate on a ship? Or do
yeah,
you
where
think
does he live
like,
again?
Do you think he like pirates movies?
Oh, yeah, he could be pirating
like
movies.
Like a copyright pirate.
Yeah, but everybody pirates like music and movies, right?
Not me!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Obviously I think every jury is a little bit bitter. Or whatever, a little bit emotional. I don't want to use the word bitter. But do you more so this one? Just because they've been there forever and they're waiting for their chance to get back in?
You know, we'll talk about this, but you know, when you have like Reem and Chris and, let's use those two people as an example, because Rick Devins got back into the game and Keith and Big Wendy aren't there anymore. But for just in particular, in Chris and Reem, their only hooks into the game were, these people that wronged me shouldn't win. It's almost impossible for how does, other than maybe Kelly Wentworth befriending Reem on the edge of extinction, then going back into the game, but how could somebody who wronged Reem on day 3 get her vote on day 39?
If it's Reem or if it's you?
Say it's Reem and Chris.
If it's Reem, of course not.
Yes.
Because that's who Reem is. Although Reem has some... she does like flip it. Like she does have those motherly qualities.
We'll talk about Reem in a minute.
No, you would think that Chris could overcome that and say, whoever voted me out and whoever had ownership in this merge or these later votes, mm-hmm. I'll vote for you, even if you voted me out, even if you screwed me over. Mm-hmm. I would like to think that was the case.
What is that based on?
Based on all the... you get so much information if you ask people questions mm-hmm. when you're voted out.
Yeah.
And now it might be a little different because people are starving. People are still going to be competing against each other. But you get so much information if you just listen.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris should know who voted him out, who is controlling the game, who is just having an impact on the game. And he should vote for that person. Or that's at least in my mind how I would treat it.
Yeah. By the way, I believe that Chris Underwood is getting married this weekend. Is that right?
Oh, congrats.
I think Woo! So.
Not
so,
invited.
You were not in the wedding party. Okay. Yes, he tweeted April 19th. I wrote my wedding vows today, feeling pretty special, getting married in 1 week. If I may make a suggestion for the wedding vows, I think go with
lingerie.
Just say that'd be funny if Rick just like shouted that as they were
he's at the wedding.
Kissing. Yeah,
he's at the wedding. Okay, all right, all right. You're talking about the jury. Real quick, the War Dogs math crunching brain on Twitter says, can we expect this malnourished jury to make a reasonable decision in picking the winner? Now, you played on a season, you went to a Ponderosa, you guys were eating and drinking and partaking in all of the, you know, the
festivities.
Festivities at Ponderosa, and it's a jury that still came up with a contentious result. Can the people that are on the edge of extinction, will the actual having to fend for themselves factor into their decision?
I don't know. Because you at Ponderosa, you are for the most part having fun because you're drinking, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're going out on little excursions. So it's a totally different mindset and setup. But I don't know if it'll have a negative impact or a positive one or no impact at all. But typically, I looked this up, juries that are larger, just like in real life, criminal cases or whatever.
Yeah.
Typically, they make the sound judgment because the juries are larger.
Interesting.
When they get smaller, like down to six, usually they like wrongfully convict or they whatever. So
wow.
So the larger they are, the better.
I didn't think you would bring facts into here.
I know. Well, who knows? That was
I think you could
study.
Say that the larger juries tend to, because we've seen a lot of, you know, 10-0 votes in recent history, although we did have the 5-5 in Ghost Island.
Yeah. It's situational. I have no idea. What do you think? There's just no way to guess, I don't think.
This might be a hot take, but I kind of feel like that the people that are on the edge of extinction might be better suited to be able to make a sound judgment than the people that are at Ponderosa and partying and drinking
Why?
All day. Because I think that you are checked out. You are, you know, I think there's lots of stories of there's like, oh, this person was drunk at this tribal council and this person was, you know, partying with like, you know, I think it's hard to go from sunbathing on the beach the whole day and, you know, gorging yourself and napping to that. All right, okay, you got to turn it back on to game mode where the Edge of Extinction people are only in game mode. And then they're going into to the tribal council. They're experiencing everything. And then there's no part where they're turning it off to then go back to Ponderosa mode.
Well, that'll be interesting when it does happen, though, whenever this person returns and if the rest of the people go back to Ponderosa, how many days are in between? Yeah, so I don't know.
I think this final tribal council is going to be wild.
Oh, very wild.
And now, yeah, I think that we should also assume that then after somebody gets back into the game, then there will be a period of a short period of people. They will not go back to the edge of extinction, I do not think.
Right.
Following somebody.
Chance, yeah.
For a third chance.
Right.
For on the edge of extinction for these people. So we'll see how that affects things. Okay. So let's bring in. Let me do one more spot. Let me do one more ad here.
Oh, please
before,
do.
We get into talking about the Extinction Island of it all. And let me thank our friends over at Ship. Those are the makers of the app. Was this what you were excited to talk about?
Oh, I am so excited.
Okay. Let's talk about what's going on at Ship. And of course, that is the dating app where you are online with your crew on the app. And so you get to then invite people, whether they're in a relationship or not, to be in your crew with you. Okay. And so,
but not to be in a relationship with you.
Not to be. No, no. I'm
it's not thrupling.
Right. I'm spoken for, but I am in Adam Klein's crew. I was just texting with Adam Klein earlier today, and he wanted to know.
Who you found him?
No, he wanted to know, hey, could you stop mentioning me in all of the ads that you do on the podcast?
No, was he serious?
He says, yeah, we shouldn't give out too much information about Emily from Texas, but we sure as hell can dox Adam Klein on every podcast.
Is he joking or is he serious? He's joking.
It's a little column A and a little column B, but yeah, I'm very excited because we have a new addition to Adam Klein's crew that Francesca Hoagie is now in Adam Klein's crew.
The love coach.
Yeah, so this is a great example. So here's Adam Klein. He's on ship and he's like, he's bringing in the big guns. He's bringing it.
Franny knows what she's doing.
Here, you want to do it?
I like Franny. Okay, of course I want to do it. What are you nuts?
Ship for Adam Klein because what you go through. It looked that you if Nick finds somebody, he can add to the yes, and then we'll talk about it amongst ourselves with the crew because we've got a whole think tank. It takes a village to date nowadays, and so you want to make sure you get all of your best minds out there on ship. I've gotten a ton of positive feedback from listeners who are really enjoying the ship process.
It's actually really fun. But as a guy, I'm picking these women as though I was me.
Yes.
And okay. I'm not picking them like who I think Adam will like. I'm picking like what I like.
Well, then that's what a conversation starter for you and Adam in the group chat. Dating is more fun when you do it with friends. Download Ship for free at getshipped.com/RHAP. That's getshipped, GETSHIPPED.com/RHAP. Getshipped.com/RHAP and start today. Okay.
Some of these women are 140 miles away. Where are they out at Coachella or what's the other one? What's the country one?
All right. Well, let's worry about this later. Right, okay. Let's get back to
Got you three matches, dude.
The feedback show. Congratulations. So this is the match?
No, stop. Okay.
All right. So
ooh, that was fun.
Yeah. Okay. Then Adam Klein also said that he wants me to be in the crew for his cousin, who's also on ship. So,
you're a matchmaker.
I'm doing so much shipping right now. Okay. All right. Back to the Edge of Extinction, and we got to see a big confrontation this week where we saw Reem finally got the opportunity to confront Kelly Wentworth about what was going on during the game. Okay, so let's listen in on Reem's conversation after Kelly had just gotten done opening up about how hard this experience has been. This was how Reem felt about the whole thing.
Finally, Kelly gets voted out. Like, I don't know what the hell took them so long. I was trying to do that on day three, which ended up getting me voted out. I mean,
she's just so pissed.
Finally, they voted out Kelly. That was my idea. And nobody even gave me credit
for it. She's been waiting to give Kelly shit this whole time.
So they took my idea and ran with it. It only took them 27 more days to figure that out, bro.
Bravo. Finally. Mama's so stupid. So I'm really happy that finally went down.
Yeah, bravo. Bravo. Okay. Yeah. So she talks about comma here, but then she's also going to talk about karma. It's a little confusing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. She's
it's a little salsa seltzer.
I'd be dying if I were asking her these questions in confessional.
If you were the producer, you would just be
like, oh my goodness, this is gold. Keep going.
Bravo. Bravo.
Then when she was like, ha, liars, I was like, listen, dude. You know.
Anytime Reem over the listen, dude.
Here it comes.
Karma. Karma's a bitch. That's what happens. Kelly, I'm not going to lie to you. Mad. What? I'm sure you picked up on that.
Kelly, I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm sure you picked up on it. If you didn't pick up on it, I'm telling you right now, but I'm sure you did.
Just in case you can't tell, I'm not happy with you. That this is the beauty of Edge of Extinction for me. Because you have to go there, and then you have to then have, then Reem is there waiting for you.
I had this like image of Reem, like she's like in prison, and you know, she's just pissed off at everybody who put her in prison or whatever. And just could you imagine living with Reem in a cell or in like a jail cell or prison? Oh, it'd be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
She reminds me of one of those Orange is the New Black characters.
Right, but there's like familiarity, like in from what I understand, there's a lot of hazing, if you want to call it that, when you get to jail.
Well, she's hazing them right now, verbally.
But this is almost like that you are running into, like you are going
like
the
bully. Not the bully. She's not a bully. Excuse me.
It's almost like that. There's like some sort of like an unemployment line, and the person that fired you also then got laid off.
That's better. That's
like,
better.
Oh, look at you. You thought you could lay me off. You thought I was expendable. Well, looks like corporate. Listen, dude. Corporate had no use for you. You are replaceable.
I mean, it was my survivor experience was because of you.
Wow.
Well, I apologize, Reem. I really do. I'm sorry.
It's just don't act like people don't.
That, Kelly's like, all right, I'll apologize, but I don't really mean
like,
it.
I didn't look. I didn't,
I'll be the bigger
whatever.
Person.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Okay.
Come here and have diarrhea of the mouth about what's going on. Everybody.
What does she mean that people came here and have diarrhea of the mouth?
Because I think like.
Everybody's like, oh, it was Kelly's idea to vote you out.
Yeah, she got ratted out.
Yeah.
Talking about what's going on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True. That's true.
Kelly was part of getting rid of me. Kind of killed my survivor dream, per se. So
I love that she has a per se. That was great.
It's such
per se.
I totally disagree with this mentality, but it's funny. Like she has no ownership of her own game. But go on.
That sucks. It sucks as a super fan. It sucks. So I had to say something. I really did, because everyone here at Edge of Extinction is mad at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't let it off your chest, it's just gonna get ugly and it's gonna fester. So get it off your chest. Everybody knows there's a healing process once you're here. But it takes time.
So I really do love just the philosophy, the Tao of Reem, which is basically, listen, dude, get it off your chest. If you have something to say, just let it out. And then we can go from there. But don't pussyfoot around it. Yeah. Don't hold back. Let it out. And that's why you and Reem might be great friends.
Yeah, no, we would get along. But at the same time, though, she is a little off in her thinking. It's not Kelly's fault. It's Reem's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would be mad at myself if I was there. I wouldn't be mad at anybody else. But yeah, Reem is, she would be tough to deal with. But like, she went to go see Kelly sunbathing.
Yes.
And then she like was really sweet. Like, hey, I don't want you to get burned. Like, please come in. Thank you. And so, you know, Reem has, it's unfortunate that she left so soon, but it's fortunate that we have Edge of Extinction.
Yeah. And I think that really, if it was not for Reem, I would hate the Edge of Extinction. I don't think I would like it a little.
Wait, I think that is a problem.
This might be the hottest take of all, that if the only thing I like about the Edge of Extinction is Reem. And I like her so much that it makes me like the Edge of Extinction. She's the most valuable player on the season. There's not one person in the game, maybe, that is doing as much to keep the show going as Reem is doing for the Edge of Extinction.
But isn't that then a problem for Edge of Extinction moving forward if they ever do it again?
It's not great.
I mean, bravo.
Bravo. Hold on. Do you think there'd be any other first boots across all the other 37 seasons that would have made Edge of Extinction great?
Yes.
Okay.
But Reem might be a top three in that category.
Okay. Do you think she'd be better in the game, though, than on Edge of Extinction? Where do you think she's better?
No, I think she'd be terrible at the game.
No, I mean as a character, like make it more interesting.
I mean, I think
would you rather see her to Edge than the game?
I mean, in terms of putting a plan together, like, The Tao of Reem, the philosophy, her worldview is perfect for the Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
It is the absolute opposite of how you want to play the game of Survivor.
But I'm not even saying play the game, just as a character. You'd be happy with her either way, right?
I don't see how she could make
last
it where I guess she can swim. She is basically, if I have any grievance with you, I need to be airing it, because that's toxic for me to hold it in. So any thought that comes into my head, any negative thought, that I need to say it to you, because I shouldn't hold that in.
Do you think if Reem was offered to play again with Edge of Extinction, would she say yes?
Yes.
Wow.
For sure, dude.
Could you imagine if Reem got first booted out on a return and had to live there again?
Yeah, like Francesca and Adam Klein's crew.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
We ship that.
Yeah, go for it. But no, Reem has done so much for this season.
I agree. So much for the edge.
I mean, there are people that, we didn't even see David Wright in this episode.
Right.
Julia, she's gone back to being purple on the Edge of Extinction. Reem is the first boot, and she's still getting a ton of airtime on the Edge of Extinction. And she also then had the last line of the episode when War Dog shows up on the Edge of Extinction. She says,
"Listen, dude, you can bet your rear end you're going to get it tomorrow for me, just so you know."
No, that's what sounds like a prison line. Like, you bet your rear end you're going to get it. You're going to get it in the showers, buddy.
Yes. Listen, dude. That it's late tonight.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I will be up early.
To give it to you.
You are going to get it. Mark my words.
Dude, you can bet your rear end you're going to get it tomorrow for me, just so you know.
Seriously, that's like the alpha female or male in the jail cell, the jail.
Listen, dude, we got a new fish here.
Yeah.
You are in big trouble, War Dog.
And what did War Dog do to her?
You voted me out in day three.
Oh.
I didn't forget that, War Dog.
Oh, my God. That was like so many votes ago. That was like 8, 9, 10 tribal councils ago.
That'll be interesting to see both of them talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they'll probably get along, actually, because he'll agree with her. I think he's like level-headed for the most part.
That wasn't my idea. That was Kelly Wentworth.
What? I just was cool with Kelly.
I think he'll say sorry, just like Kelly.
Dude, you're ruining my whole Edge of Extinction experience.
That mentality I do not like.
That Reem has been so great for this season.
I know.
It's really, what would the Edge of Extinction have been without Reem?
Take her out. Well, it would just be scavenger hunts and then practicing challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of it is, though, why show us so much Reem if she has no impact on the remaining game? Like, if she's the returning player in this challenge.
She's the Jeff Probst of the Edge of Extinction.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she's like she's like the facilitator of conversation. That every other moment on the Edge of Extinction is almost like a solitary moment of, you know, we saw Joe and Kelly. They were having like solitary.
Excuse me, not boring. Yeah.
They were having like a moment together of
which is nice.
Everybody else on the Edge of Extinction is like, oh, this sucks. I never thought I would be here. It's hard here. It's boring.
Yeah, you're
here.
Right.
I have nothing to do. Reem is the person that's like,
her personality's still
listen,
on.
Listen, dude, we got to talk about this. That you have to tell me right now. What were you thinking? Why did you pick that up? How much are we eating? You know, she is the agitator of the Edge of Extinction.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. It would be super boring every time we went there.
Because there's two nice people maybe there otherwise. And I'm sure Reem is nice.
Everybody's just like depressed.
Yeah,
and she's like mixing it up. So that really, they need to, you know, anybody who is like, boy, Edge of Extinction was, I didn't think it was going to be good, but I've been into it. Thank Reem.
I've got a question for you. Do you think people at Edge of Extinction should get food, be fed well, and have a nice shelter? Would that make it better?
Why?
Give them more energy, not make them depressed?
Well, I think that the idea of what the production felt like is interesting about this is
the
how much will...
It.
Yeah, enduring it. So if you make it more comfy, but then... to endure.
But what if there were more game dynamics where they could fight? Like not fight, bicker or have conflict. like, let's say one of them wins food. Like, there's like a little mini challenge where one of them wins food and they can only have the food for themselves. So wouldn't that cause some conflict?
I guess so. We also have to, you know, like,
I know it doesn't matter as much.
It's not helping the regular game if we're putting more bells and whistles into the into the other game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's Reem has been a godsend, and I cannot say it enough. Okay, and she okay. should be on the DVD cover when this season is on DVD. When this season one day is on David Wright's DVD shelf, it should be Reem.
It's got to be the three returnee or two returnees.
I think definitely David and Kelly. Yep. I think Joe and Aubrey are on the. So I got Reem, Rick. David, Kelly. Let's put the winner on there.
Rick or War Dog?
Rick or War Dog, and then I think we need another woman.
Well, you have Kelly and Reem.
Yeah. So,
and then the winner.
Maybe the winner is a woman, yeah. and then David Wright. War
you
Dog,
you
want
to see Reem play again?
I would like to see.
Is she your number one? Or would you rather see Rick or War
Dog? Let's do a draft of let's draft people from this season to return.
Not returning players.
Of the 14 people that are let's rank them. The 14 new players. Is this most likely or who we should see?
Who we want?
Yeah.
Or most likely. It's up to you. You make that decision.
I think this is take our word for it. These are the best 14 returnees.
Okay.
All right. We don't have to get to the Let's stop at 8 maybe because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Okay. All right. Number 1 though.
All right. I'll go with you with Reem.
Well, I think that maybe Devin's
I can agree with that. Devin's number 1.
Okay. Devin's is 1.
I think he's a good this is not a negative word, but a good nerdy character. Good, yeah. He's good in confessionals.
All right. 2, let's have Reem. Bring back
2, let's
Reem.
Have Reem.
Let's bring back Reem.
I want a 3 here.
Okay.
I want Wendy.
You want Wendy? Wendy over Ron Clark or War Dog?
Oh, I really love Ron Clark. But when Wendy is that like combustible part that you need, like an Abby Maria, like
I don't know if Wendy is an AMG
supercharged type of thing.
But with all due respect to Wendy, she was great one time out. If it's not for I'm going to let out the chickens, I don't know if she has a ton to then offer on a returnee season.
She's good in confessionals, though. She's
fine.
Energetic.
She's fine.
All right.
She might get drafted here, but I don't think you have her ahead of War Dog or Devin.
All right. Give me Ron Clark.
Okay. Ron Clark. Okay. All right. And then War Dog.
And then War Dog, yes. Okay.
All right. Now here's where it's getting interesting.
Can you give me Wendy for this?
You want Wendy ahead of, say, like, I feel like that Victoria has a lot of
really
popularity.
Victoria over Lauren.
What has Lauren done yet?
Well, she's an athlete. She at least can compete in these challenges.
I mean, athlete is a dime a dozen.
But don't you need that in a player?
I can't find a woman athlete.
Okay, then what does Victoria provide? Strategy, a subtle social game. Victoria.
Well, I'm sort of like projecting out that I think that she would play bigger in a second time out, and I think she's good in the confessionals, and I can't manufacture that. Like, I can't have somebody who's not good in confessionals get good at confessionals in their second time out. But if she's like
a Lauren, maybe.
She's fine. But
isn't
then, she's
Wendy
not
better than those two?
Popping off the
screen, isn't Wendy?
Was Wendy hilarious in confessionals?
Yeah, I mean,
what was a confessional she had that was great?
All right, it's fine. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
She let the chickens out. That was a big moment, but I can't recreate that. She's
just so like bubbly with her Tourette's and everything.
But if in this returnee season, she's just there to let the chickens out again.
Well, but she's also there to foil somebody's plans. Like David was having a hard time trying to get her to do.
I'm not saying she can't be in the list, but she's not my number 5.
Fine. Okay. All right, Victoria number 5? No Julie, no Julia. Aurora's a challenge beast. She's got an interesting story. She's good in confessionals, even though we've seen her late. Allegedly, she's super funny, says Josh Wiggler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a person. She's at least is a personality.
She is. She hates soccer mom. She's got those funny one-liners.
I'm just going back to the edge of extinction.
Chris, Keith,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Yeah. They didn't really...
Nobody's... How can Wendy not be on there? She's the one of the biggest pre-merge personalities we have.
All right, fine. I'll put Wendy at 6.
Thank you.
Well, and we're struggling here with the must-have returnee draft.
And then I don't think Chris. I don't think Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to number 7 for Lauren or...
I mean, Lauren still has upside for me.
For sure.
That she could be starting to come into
Lauren
her own.
Oh, it's either Aurora. It's either that, yeah, that's one
no
or
Julie?
Flip. No.
Mm.
I mean, she's not bad, but no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got better options, I think.
Okay, let's just cap it at 6.
Okay.
Okay, that's our top 6 returnees for Survivor, The Edge of Extinction.
Devins, Reem, Ron Clark, War Dog, Victoria, and Wendy.
And then look, we still don't know who the winner is going to be.
That's true.
So that could change this list. There's mm-hmm. still, you know, 2 more regular episodes in the finale. So we'll see. We'll see. But I feel like that these are probably the people that might be on like a short list.
Okay.
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 A casting shortlist for a future Survivor season. All right, let's go back to all of the feedback here for Nick Majorano. And let's go to, this is a voicemail from Anthony. Anthony has a question for the great Nick Majorano today. Anthony. And let's go ahead and bring Anthony on.
Hello, Robin Mayo. This is Anthony calling. I have a question. Mayo, are you happy that there's no Mayor of Ponderosa this season because everybody's on the edge of extinction? It's just reaming everybody on the edge. Thank you.
Okay. Are you happy there's no Mayor of Ponderosa?
Well, Reem is technically the mayor, right?
Dude, that I am not the mayor. She doesn't want to be the mayor. Yeah. Like, I am the freaking president of the edge of extinction, okay?
Yeah, there's no mayor. Who was the last mayor of the last season?
That was the Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. No, I don't think we need a mayor anymore. Mm. It's just who that first boot is.
Mm-hmm. Dude, this is anarchy here. There's no politics. There's no leader. This is a mess.
Poor Reem.
Listen, dude.
Could you imagine if she had won that pre-merge challenge and then got voted out the next 3 days? No,
dude.
I'm back.
That, you know,
that would have been too good.
And Kelly Wentworth did it again.
Yeah.
I'm getting so tired of this.
She would have been so mad.
Kelly Wentworth, and I was a fan. I liked her.
She would just get a taste of the merge game. Oh, she'd be so furious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would have been so good.
Y'all are playing like a bunch of passengers.
She's not a part of that. She's a pilot, baby.
Okay. All right. Jeff Pittman has a question for you.
New York Times.
The great
go
Jeff
visit
Pittman.
It.
3 of the 7 people left didn't attend a tribal council until the merge. 2 of them haven't been voted against. Is skipping tribal in the pre-merge really as much as a disadvantage as everybody claims? Now, Nick,
this is
let's talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happened on my season. We did not go to a tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
And one of us got voted out first at the merge and one of us won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of us got
Bro,
voted on
I
the
know.
It's always on standby. You know, I hope if she ever comes back, she dominates the game and she crushes it again for karma. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
I love karma.
But anyway, I don't know. I don't know with Edge of Extinction now if it's any different or if it's any worse. But I do think it's a negative to not lose a tribal council early on.
So you think it's a negative to not ever have to
for the
vote
most
before
part,
the merge?
For the most part, because tribal council is information. You want information where people stand, how people feel, how people deal with tribal council, mm-hmm. The stress of it all, like a Julie, if she like flips out or breaks down. So I do think it's beneficial.
So who has it benefited that we had the Lesu group went to so many tribal councils in the early going for the season?
And only Lauren's here.
Only Lauren and Devins who left and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an interesting season where Everybody getting voted out was Lesu, mm-hmm. and with like a short break, Aubrey. And then we went back to, then we saw Big Wendy get voted out from the original Manu. And then we got to the merge. It's like, uh-oh, here come all the comma people.
Well, right.
And now the comma Joe people, gets voted out. Joe, and then Eric, and then Julia. And then all of a sudden, now it's swung back the other way. And now David and Kelly and then War Dog go back to the Lesu people are getting voted out.
But where did Gavin, Julie, and Ron vote for those three comma vote outs? Joe, Julia.
They all voted for Joe on that yeah. first one. Ron voted, I think, for Kelly at that tribal council, and then everybody else voted up. For, and everybody else voted for Eric. Julia and Gavin Eric. Were like the okay. pilots of the let's vote out Eric.
Okay. See, so yeah, for Eric and Joe, yeah, you don't have that information if you went to tribal.
But Joe's played two times before. Joe doesn't need to go to tribal council before the merge to know how to play the game.
Okay.
Although I will say, as somebody who was voted out in the first tribal council of the second season they played, that it would have been a little helpful to sort of like, boy, is everybody acting weird or is this just how they are?
Right. Yeah, you want some intel. And so, but not unless you are getting along with everybody. If you're like Ron or Julie or Gavin and you've made it this far, obviously.
But they might have voted Joe out if he went to a tribal council earlier.
Well, that's what
on,
I mean, though. Yeah.
So he was, this was fine. Okay. So for a player that's coming back, I think you want at least a little tribal council experience.
Well, Aubrey even said it. You know, she doesn't want it to be kumbaya. And that's what makes it difficult. That was difficult on my season with the beauty tribe. You know it's not kumbaya, but you don't know exactly where the cracks are. Mm-hmm. You know there's some, but you don't know for sure.
Okay. Nick, Charles West wants to know, Nick, if you had a chance to play The Amazing Race, who would your survivor partner be?
Oh, I saw this question. Well, since you and Steven would do it, right? if possible. I would do it with, obviously the easy answer is Neil.
Yeah.
We'd be like that Brett and Chris combination.
Who would be who?
I would be obviously the better partner, so I would be Chris, right? Because Brett's been messing up. I've seen in some clips.
Did he mess up on the hill thing? A mistake, but I think they both were fine.
I am the funnier one, so I would be Brett.
You'd be both.
Yeah, so I'd be both. You're right. Yeah, they wouldn't even show Neil, probably.
Okay. Well, are you and Neil, do you have a Chris and Brett level of closeness?
We've kept in touch. No, I think Chris and Brett are much closer. Maybe Wiggler and I.
But Josh hasn't been on Survivor.
Well, he doesn't need to be.
I mean, I think in this instance, you literally did need to be.
Oh, how about... that's true. I'm taking out one of the parameters or prereqs. How about Bryce? Because I have a bone to pick with Bryce.
Okay, why?
All right, he comes on here.
Right.
He debuts a song, right?
Right. Do you have a song?
No, I don't have a song. Okay. But okay, he debuts a song. Where is Bob from Columbus producing this song? Where is Phil T dropping some bars?
Okay.
Where is JD and Leah? Where's any of these people?
Yeah.
Giving just a little, be a ghostwriter. Produce the song a little bit. Why can't he give back to the community?
Wait, I'm so confused. Are you saying that Bryce had help from the Wanda?
No. Why did he not seek help from all these talented creative people?
Why did he not have his track produced by Bob? By Bob from Columbus,
right.
Or Bob with two B's,
or why didn't Graham from the Bay write some lyrics for him?
Well, why don't you have a Wandoff superstar produce your track?
Oh no, I'm just not that. I'm
or
not
Lindell
that good
from
music.
Australia.
Oh yeah, Lindell from Australia could have gave him some dirty lyrics for sure. Should have ghostwrited that stuff in no time. But Bryce did not go there.
Yes.
Because he does not give back to the community.
Well, I think that he had people like that he can work with whoever he wants to.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, he basically said the Wandoff people are not creative enough or talented enough for me.
Now, let me pry a little bit here. And are you really upset about the song, or are you upset that you were not included in the 2019 Zaddy calendar?
You know, that was a snub. Mm-hmm. That was a big snub. That was like March Madness snub, like left off the bubble when I should have been in the bracket.
Right. Your
I cannot believe I was left off.
Your castmate, Joe Del Campo.
Yeah. What is that? Seriously? Seriously? There's no board governing this daddy calendar? He liked my orange boxers. I know he did. My boxer briefs. I know. So, Bryce, you were wrong on the Zaddy Town. I should have been on probably the cover.
Next week, he will be my guest on the feedback show. Do you have a message for him?
Yeah. I want to be on 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The cover.
The cover. Okay.
And I want you to include some of these creative people on your next album, your next track.
Okay. All right.
And I don't want to hear another daughter. Or another Lauren, or whatever other term.
Yes. All right. Nick, this is a question from Franz, who says, what is Nick's IQ score? Do you know that?
Oh, it's really high. it's like the squiggle one.
James Lim?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know why Jeff left me out of that one.
Yeah.
But I do have a funny story about, not a funny, but an interesting story.
About James Lim?
No, be quiet. Okay. you have to take an IQ test, right? Obviously.
Okay, sure.
That's why James got the squiggle and Liz got the squiggle. So take it and whatever. They don't tell you your score, I guess, unless you go to squiggle.
Yeah.
But then I went back for casting a second time,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have to take that IQ test again. And mm-hmm. there's like one or two questions that were the same on the IQ test.
And you knew them already.
And I remembered them like from like 3 or 4 years ago because I got them wrong the first time.
Right.
Like one was like canvas, like with two S's at the end or one S. And like, is it the same definition? I was like, I remember that one. So I get those like whatever questions right. And the psychologist told me like, Nick, you had a higher IQ this time around. And I was like, yeah, I know, because some of the questions are, I remembered them. And she was like, oh, so now they don't take the IQ test twice. They only take it once. If they go through casting more than once.
So you broke the mold.
That's how smart I was. That's how high my IQ mm-hmm. was. I broke the IQ test.
Yeah, you would have been on the Brains Tribe.
Well, I mean, I would have been on the Brains Tribe no matter what. Even on my first try. It was probably high no matter mm-hmm. what.
Yeah.
But
well, you were on the Beauty Tribe.
Yeah, but I could have been on all three, obviously. So, mm-hmm. but like, I broke the test, and I get credit for that. I'm sorry, everybody.
I want to go back to The Amazing Race, because there was a lot of rumors leading up to this Amazing Race season that, that two of your Beauty Tribe cast members were going to be racing together in Ty and Kayla.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, that didn't fall through. Are the viewers the loser in not seeing Ty and Caleb run The Amazing Race?
How do I answer this? I think Ty is entertaining. I would rather not.
Peek-a-boo.
Could you imagine just Ty like popped out of here somewhere like a peek-a-boo?
I was like, oh,
no, that's good. Wait, what was her hot in Cambodia?
Yeah, that was
we're in the middle of Korong. Like, listen, we don't need no more heat, baby.
Yeah.
No, I
haven't looked at all of these Korong sound clips for a long time. We saw Darnell in Philly.
I know. He was jacked, like you said.
Yeah.
He looks like he's juicing. I know he's not. That's all natural, baby, but whoa. I know Hannah was talking about working out, but Darnell works out.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been a great Edge of Extinction first boot on our season.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny.
Yeah, no, he's good.
And he's a good guy. But, I don't think we need to see Ty and Caleb. But I think we're done seeing Caleb, please.
Oh, my God!
Now, Ty would be good.
Ty would be good on The Amazing Race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now all I had to do was, like, have Ty kiss me. And I could have been offered that as well, selfishly. Damn, I missed the boat on that.
You missed.
I was like, Ty, keep this private. Don't put it on camera.
Let's see. Let me do it. This is a question from...
He would pack snails in his boxers for us to eat later.
Yes.
And so the snails would, you know, the snails are grippy. They're sticky.
Yeah.
They would rip away at what was underneath his boxer briefs.
Yes.
That's how he would carry them to us at camp. And so he would go, ow, 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 because the snails were ripping at his...
No.
Ty's great. I love Ty. Such a good person. All right, back to it.
Let's see. This is a question from John. Tell me if you want me to cut this one off.
Hey, Rob and Nick. This is John.
Just calling in because I think I owe Nick an apology. Last time he was on, I called in and mistakenly thought he was Nick Stanberry, and I'm really embarrassed about it. But honestly, he's one of my favorite guests that you have on, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Nick Stanberry?
Although I thought he was on earlier this season, but I don't know. It'll be great to hear from him again. And, you know, maybe at some point you can come on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast and do an episode about the show Passions. But yeah, anyway, good luck with the baby, Nick, and hope to keep hearing from you. Thanks.
Okay, I think that John
Nick Iadanza,
he thinks.
I listened to that podcast.
Yeah.
First of all, he had some interesting ideas about Edge of Extinction with it being like a game to get out of there. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, John, screw you, dude. You're lame.
Screw you, dude.
You're completely lame.
Let's see.
Where does John live? Tell me Los Angeles.
I don't think so.
Tell me New Jersey.
No.
I'll be back there Christmas, dude. We'll see you.
Here's one, John in DC. I haven't screened this one. You want to go into one blind? A blind voicemail?
Yeah, blind
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
This is for you, John.
Okay, there you go. All right, John in DC, what does he have to say?
I feel like I'm on the Devin's train as much as anybody, but I'm wondering, are we getting it all wrong? Is Devin's actually the villain? Are there six people that are still left in this game sitting at home thinking, why is this conceited jackass getting such a sweetheart edit?
You should have screened it.
I love hot water.
Yeah.
You are dreaming.
Listen, he's been a little conceited, but so was I in my season, so I can't knock it.
Is Devin's the villain?
He's the villain now, for sure. Now mm-hmm. the War Dog's gone, mm-hmm. who else would be the villain?
Mm-hmm.
Not Ron Clark. I mean, he's playing a little
Ron
mischievous.
Could be the villain.
None of the women, other than maybe Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
If she's like playing a little mischievous. Yeah, no. Devin's is the villain. He's the guy who you're almost rooting against, even though what he's saying is usually sound judgment.
Yeah. I don't know if he's necessarily the villain.
He's the antagonist.
He is an antagonist for everybody else that's out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But is he like the Mike, Mike from Worlds Apart?
Okay. Oh, okay. Mike Holloway.
Like, is he the big community threat? We need to get him out. He's our adversary.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. He's the underdog. So I think that is always going to make him, in the eyes of the viewer, it's hard to have a villain who's an underdog.
See, I root for the favorites. Does that make me a bad person?
So give me an example.
I would just I used to love, this is going to be a sports thing, but I used to love watching Reggie Miller
mm-hmm.
like just crush people, or Michael Jordan just crush people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see the underdog do well when everybody wants to see the underdog do well.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them get stomped on, not in a bad way.
Yeah.
You're disagreeing with me, so we'll move on.
Yeah. I mean, are you a Patriots fan?
No, but I do love their excellence.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and you have no
give me Ken Spradlin.
Team. Yeah,
no, I don't. I used to like the 49ers when I was good, and
when they were good.
When right. I was young, I mean,
right.
But now, no sports team.
Okay, all right, Nick. Well, what else? What else do you want to talk about?
Oh, I don't know.
You watching anything else on TV?
No, I don't think so. Is there any summer shows? Oh, you know what I saw?
Shows. It's
like,
April.
Like Dating Around or whatever.
Dating
that
Around?
That was a good show on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't see that.
What? Oh, I liked You. You on Netflix. It was originally on Lifetime. Did you see that?
Like, I did not. Killer? I did not see that.
What shows are you watching?
Survivor.
Amazing Race.
Game of Thrones.
See, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Although I see that Wiggler came up with a new podcast.
Yeah, for THR.
I hope I can create a show where he's going to wind up podcasting about it. That's my ultimate goal.
That's your goal.
So he could talk about it all the time.
How are you feuding with Josh still?
No, I haven't heard from him in a while, but no feuds. We're getting along.
He's very busy.
Yeah, he's very busy. And so, no, that's it. All right, but I do have his hat.
Yes, okay.
See,
wait, hold on. Let's see. All right. Nick has, can we make this out?
Can you see it?
Nick has taken a Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Yep.
And then,
this is my
here,
new
let me,
hat.
Here, let me hold it. Let me hold
oh,
it.
Oh, you can
let,
hold
here,
it.
Here, let me put it on this camera.
I decided
here.
To,
this is going to be, it says he has a Wiggler's Wombat's hat And he has, is this duct tape?
That is duct tape. That's the best I could do.
And it says, Mayo's Magpies?
Yes. Do you know what a magpie is?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, let me tell you, Rob, because that's my animal, okay?
Mayo's Magpies.
A magpie is a bird.
Pie pie.
Okay. But let me tell you about this bird. It's widely considered one of the most intelligent animals in the world.
Is that your spirit animal?
It must be, because it reflects my high IQ for breaking the IQ test.
Yes.
And wait, one more thing. It's one of only a few non-mammal species able to recognize itself in a mirror test.
Oh,
that lines up pretty well,
too.
Bravo. All right.
Bravo.
Well, Mayo's Magpies it is. New hats coming out.
Okay.
Get your hat with duct tape.
What does somebody have to do to get a Mayo's Magpies
hat? Send me your Wiggler's Wombat hat.
And you will send it back to somebody with the duct tape.
And I will send it back with you duct tape my handwriting for Mayo's Magpies.
Okay. All right.
That is it.
Nick, so much fun to catch up. Now, you were saying this is your fourth time here?
Oh, right. I did text you because I saw the Hannah podcast. Yes. I watched the video.
Yes.
She got a David Wright jersey.
A custom jersey that I had made up because it was her fifth appearance.
Right.
And also David Wright got voted out of Survivor. So I had a custom jersey made up that said David Wright. And then I also had a number 5 put on there because it was her fifth time.
And I've been here 4 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I told him, where's my Lenny Dykstra jersey?
Yes.
Because he used to wear number 4 for the Mets.
You want me to get a custom War Dog jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And then have number 4.
Yes, that would be great.
He won 4 fishies.
Yes. Oh, he won 4 fishies. Well, yes. I just wanted some type of gift. You gave her a buff. You gave her everything. So I'll wait until I'm back for 5 times in a row.
So this is your fourth time talking about the episode.
In a row.
Are you counting when we did your deep dive about your season?
I did. So wait, 38 I'm doing, 37, 36, and 35 I did. I didn't do 34.
Are you sure you were here 4 seasons in a row? But you're counting when you just
subbed in with Wiggler? Joined Wiggler?
You drove him from the airport.
Oh, are you kidding
that
me?
Was not,
I was part of that podcast.
You were on the podcast, but I don't think that was.
That wasn't featuring me?
Mm.
So you're just saying I was used for the airport drive. Wow.
I'm not saying that.
You know, I just saw some article saying if you go to the airport for somebody, you must really like them. You must really appreciate them.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you were on
4 times in a row.
You were here with me on June 15th, 2016.
Uh-huh.
I remember that we were looking at the Big Brother cast had just came out that day.
Okay.
And then we did a podcast during the when the Cubs won the World Series that night. Uh-huh. We had pizza.
I remember that.
That was on November 3rd, 2016. And then you were here on October 22nd, 2017, and that was the episode number 4 feedback show. I remember I had just come back from Reno, and then I was going to go out for my birthday that night, and you came in the morning on a Saturday, and we did that podcast.
Bending over backwards for
you. Yeah. Yes. Did I also recruit you to help me move my I got a heavy delivery. I needed to move into...
No, okay. You never asked me.
I think I was contemplating.
Oh, you could have asked me.
Yeah.
I would have helped out.
Okay, and then you were here for the infamous, when I got befranked by Simone and Stevie that
day. That was with Wiggler.
Yes, that was on April 2nd, or I guess it went up on April 2nd, 2018, but it was April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
When
quite the prank.
And Josh was coming back from a trip to Fiji.
Yep.
And you...
Kindly picked him up from the airport.
Yes, you picked him up
I did not have to do that.
On April 1st, 2018, and then... You were back here with me on November 10th, 2018, and so many times.
Sounds like 4, Abby Maria's favorite number. No, her favorite number is 8.
It's 4, and PG told me that's actually...
Supercharged.
It's a very unlucky number in Chinese culture.
Oh, well, that would make 4. Sense for Abby.
Yes,
PG. She's an unlucky person. No.
So
NGM, supercharged. Okay. Wow, that was interesting.
So this is... I guess we'll let the it's not up to me.
I'll get number 5 for season 39. Don't worry.
39. Okay. All right. So the great Nick Majorano, have you posted anything on Instagram lately?
No, I just find it so difficult to post a photo.
Yes.
That's not my personality. I don't know how people do it so much. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Yeah. It's a skill in itself.
Yes.
To okay. be so shameless.
Are you training? Are you training people?
I am a little bit, yeah, but the writing's taken over a little bit. Yes, writing, training some people. Yeah, I just checked out your gym downstairs and your gym upstairs. You got two gyms here, everybody.
I don't have two gyms.
He's got two areas for working out.
I have workout stuff in my garage, and then I have also workout stuff upstairs.
So he's always working out.
I'm always doing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Am I doing too much? Do I need to take days off?
No. I told Rob he's got to go a little bit heavier with the weights.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many days are you doing?
I do something every day.
Oh, that's a lot. Maybe you need a little rest day.
Maybe.
No, once I'm serious.
I probably do have like a one day of the week I do nothing.
Okay.
All right. We're going to lose people.
Okay.
All right. I'll have more questions for Nick after the show. All right. You can talk to Nick on Twitter. You don't respond to anybody.
No, I don't respond. I'd respond to DMs, though. Wait. Don't send me a DM just so we can talk and chat.
Okay. Nick is... Would you join anybody's crew on ship?
No. Okay. But, no, maybe I would. It's actually really fun.
Okay. Nick is following 8 people currently.
We always go over this.
Yes, not me.
No, I did change my Twitter bio to be Sir Robert Winter, though.
Okay, the only 8 people.
But here's the thing: I go to your Twitter, I go to your Instagram, I go to check out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like I don't.
Yes, only 8 people Nick follows are Callie Badger, Stephen Colbert, Jason Doyle, Taco Trey Kirby,
the starters,
Bo Burnham, Jeff Probst, Josh Wigler, and Emily Fox. Those are the only 8.
I'll increase it eventually. You know, when I'm big time with this writing thing.
Are you a big Colbert guy?
I do like him. I used to follow Fallon, but he's become a little too dumb.
Do you watch Colbert every night?
No, but I'll watch like the clips for sure on YouTube.
Right. I love
me some Rachel Maddow. Love me some Ari Melber.
I love
the politics stuff. Yeah. I'm into that.
You know what?
Because I've never voted, obviously, as we've discussed, but I just love to be on the outside, be like, wow, this shit's crazy.
you watch a lot of cable news.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Just got to keep update.
I cut it out.
You can't do it anymore.
It's
like a show in itself. That's a show that I'm watching.
It's drain. Because I find myself, I've done it. I was doing it for a long time, and then I was like, oh, I can't walk away from my phone. I got to hear what they say next.
Yeah, that's
and
me.
I said, you know what? It's the same exact thing every day.
Yeah.
So, all right. There you go. All right. So there we even talked politics here with Nick Majorano. There you go. All right.
Switzerland, baby.
All right. So there you have it. Nick Majorano.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
So great to have you here with me. And we've still got a lot to do this weekend. AJ Mass is going to be on the podcast. We're going to talk to AJ Mass on This Week in Survivor.
He's a Mets fan, is he not?
He is a Mets fan. He was a Mr. Met.
Oh, right.
He was the mascot. Yeah. And he brought Mr. Met back, and we'll talk about everything with AJ Mass on This Week in Survivor. And then Josh Wigler and I are going to get into everything on this week's Wiggle Room.
Okay. I love me some Wiggler.
So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for that. And of course, Snow It Alls with Stephen Fishback. Robin Akiva Need a Podcast is going to be back this week. Total Idea Request Live on Sunday.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I should go on. John said I should be on to review Passions.
Yes. Yes. Do you know what that is, Robin Akiva Need a Podcast?
I know what it is, but...
Wheel of Podcast Ideas. We spin it every week. Come up with this week. The listeners are going to call in and give us more ideas.
Oh, I like that. That's creative.
Okay. And then we have coming up next week. We've got such a great week coming on the podcast next week. I'm very excited that we have a double guest on the recap next week.
Who is it?
We will have Dominic Abate and Kellen Bechtold will be
doubling up.
Two on one.
Whoa. 2-on-1. Dominic's great. Kellen's great. I wanted Ryan to come on here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Ulrich. And unfortunately, we couldn't work it out. But that was, you know, we were trying to get that co-hosting.
That would have been a big hit.
I know. I will try again eventually in the future. He was my big whale. I couldn't get him. I'm sorry.
Look, Maybe one day. And then on the feedback show, Bryce Isaiah next week. So it's going to be a jam-packed week.
Bryce.
And then so much to do as we start to, we're within 3 weeks to the finale.
I know, it's rushed. We all agree it's rushed.
Are you going to be out after the finale?
I don't know. You know, it's not my cup of tea, as I say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll maybe go out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Should I go do interviews? Should I go do the interviews?
I like when you do the interviews.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that.
You're gonna do
I
it?
Think I'm going to go to the finale this time out and then do interviews.
Yeah, okay, fine. Then maybe I'll come to the red carpet with you.
Okay. Oh, you want to co-host?
Hey, Rob.
You want to co-host the red carpet?
Am I allowed to?
Yeah.
No. You're like, that's just a joke, Nick. I mean, don't take that as a serious offer, please.
Well, hold on. Well, we can talk about it. All right.
Ropes would agree.
Okay. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for checking this out. Anything else you need to say?
That is it.
Okay. Thanks so much to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Let me talk directly to the patrons. Patrons, thank you again for all of your support, and don't worry about Nick anymore. It's just us.
No, I'm still here.
Thank you so much. You make all of this podcasting possible. Everything that you see here, this is all because of you, patrons. And
you'll be going to a mud bath soon. Sorry.
Nope. Heaven is not a mud bath from War Dog. It is getting to hear a bunch of crazy podcasts every single week and getting to make them for you. So thank you so much, patrons of Rob as a Podcast. For more information about everything we're doing on our Patreon, robhasawebsite.com/patron. We've got podcasts. We've got Facebook. We've got all sorts of other perks that Nick has nothing to do with.
You have these sexy videos that you get to watch.
All right. So thank you guys so much. Have a good one, everybody. There's Nick. Okay. And take care. Have a good one. Bye.